Welcome to Act It Season 4. I'm here with the new judge that everybody, it's been a secret, I haven't told anybody. Star of stage and screen, Scarlett.
What?
Hi. Scarlett. Everybody's going to be so excited because you are a voice actress.
Not really, but yeah.
You're supposed to play it up.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, guys.
Star of voice things.
Voice things.
And my dreams.
What?
Scarlett. Okay, no. So to audition, people had to do a monologue, and the auditions are still open. We have 5 tonight. And we'll be saying yes or no to get on the show, Scarlett.
Okay.
They have to get 2 yeses to get on the show.
Okay.
So don't let your bitchy side come out and say no to everybody. You have to say yes to some people.
No, I'll say yes.
Will you?
Yeah.
Don't let your whore side come out either and say yes to everybody. You have to find a balance between bitch and whore. Can you do it?
Yes.
I believe in you. I believe in you, Scarlett.
Thank you.
I believe in you. And the audience believes in you as well.
Oh.
More than they believe in me, even. And that's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Active 4, first audition ever is... Let me check.
Nice.
It's Bright Disaster. He's always like the first auditions for lots of things. He was the first audition for Performance Season 1, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. So maybe he will set the tone. I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. I am Kira. And what can you do? Kill me right here? Hear this. I'm not only Kira, but I am also God of the New World. Kira has become law in the world we now live. He is the one who's maintaining order. I have become justice. The only hope for mankind. Ha! Kill me. Is that really the right thing to do? Since Kira has appeared 6 years ago, wars have stopped, and global crime rates have been reduced by over 70%. But it's not enough. This world is still rotten. With too many rotten people. Somebody has to do this. When I first got that notebook all those years ago, I knew I had to do it. No, I was the only one who could. I understood that killing people was a crime, but there was no other way. The world had to be fixed. A purpose given to me. Only I could do it. Who else could have done it? And come this far? Would they have kept going? The only one who can create a new world is me.
Bright Disaster. Oh yeah. Say it. It helps if you say their name.
Bright Disaster.
Yes, Scarlett's never judged a show before. She's nervous.
I'm so nervous, guys. Don't even.
Don't be.
Like, you can hear it. I'm just laughing right now because I don't know what to do.
Do you want to start?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I assume that it sounds like it's from Death Note.
Yes.
Overall, I think it was pretty good. The laugh or cry at the beginning kind of really threw me off, I'm not going to lie.
You were like, I couldn't tell what it was.
So probably figuring out just like make it sound more solid so that you can tell what exact emotion you are portraying, because that's especially with laughter and crying. And then about halfway through, just one thing, because like you sounded really evil at the very beginning, but then halfway through he starts kind of going like vigilante, mm-hmm. and like wants to change the world, and I feel as though that it would be better if you actually like kind of switch the way you're talking, and instead of drawing out the words like you were to make it sound more evil, actually just sounding more
maniacal, crazy, kind of like.
Yeah, and just strengthening your voice, and
you could have built there.
Yeah, exactly, and started yelling more, and started really like putting more passion behind your words.
Yeah, I wanted more levels on this. It's like riding a roller coaster. You don't just want to be flat. You want hills and dips. And then I also heard a mic pop, so that's something like you would want to redo. Because mic pops are not good, Scarlett.
No, they're not. I learned my lesson several years ago.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
He did this monologue before, but with a fail voice. And I like this voice better, even though it's anime. And to me, like, I don't know. To me, I don't like anime monologues a lot for auditions for this show because I don't feel like it gives you a legit acting experience.
I don't know.
You probably disagree.
Well, that's a tricky one. I have nothing against anime monologues as long as it's well chosen. Like, I personally think that this was all right because, like, it has potential for that switch where he goes, like, it has a lot of potential as a monologue.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, this particular monologue, I just don't want people going, like, I'm Steiner! This particular monologue, I think, is a good one. Mm-hmm. I think you should, you're doing a lot of voice things now, Bright Disaster, and I think you should definitely invest in a decent microphone, even, like, a Rock Band microphone or something, which is what I used to use. You can get a microphone for, like, $10.
Mm-hmm.
That would help so much, I think.
What I used to use for a little while was a $30 Logitech one.
And Logitech's good.
Logitech is good, and I didn't have any issues with it, so.
Yeah, yeah, Logitech is the way to go. Look for Logitech.
And avoid all headsets. I'm sorry, guys, but just mic shopping, avoid headsets.
You'll pop. Seriously. You'll do a lot of pops if you have a headset mic.
Yeah.
I did like that when you were talking about there was no other way but to kill people, I thought it had shades of good emotion there. But again, it needed to build so much more when you went into that whole, like, spiel you did. So, I would like to see you. Well, Scarlett, do you say yes or no, first of all?
Oh my gosh. First one
of the season.
First one ever I've ever judged. I don't even know what to compare it to.
This has set the tone for the whole show.
Oh my god.
No pressure.
Oh my god.
I believe in Scarlett. I believe in you, but do you believe in Bright Disaster?
I believe that I really want to hear a redo.
Me too, and I would actually hear you redo the exact same monologue with
Yeah.
So it's a no from me.
Yeah, I want to redo, so I'd say, yeah.
You have to actually say it.
No.
Thank you. But this had promise. I believe you have promise, and I believe you can get on the show. Unlike my singing shows, I believe you have potential on this one. So
yeah.
if you redo with levels, I think it's going to be a lot better for you. I want you to go more maniacal crazy on that part that we were talking about when you went into, like, the vigilante thing.
Yeah.
anything else you want to say?
Not really. I'd say the most important thing is energy.
Energy.
Give lots of it.
It sounded like you were trying to be quiet, too. I meant to mention that. It sounded like maybe there's somebody else in your house and you didn't want them to hear you talking about killing people, which I can understand. But maybe record when there's nobody else home or something.
Yeah.
So next up is Russ.
I don't understand how to behave in the company of ladies. Madam, in the course of my life, I have seen more women than you have sparrows. 3 times have I fought duels for women, 12 I jilted, and 9 jilted me. There was a time when I played the fool, used honeyed language, bowed and scraped. I loved, suffered, sighed to the moon, melted in love's torments. I loved passionately, I loved to madness, loved in every key, chattered like a magpie in emancipation, sacrificed half my fortune in the tender passion. Until now, the devil knows I've had enough of it. Your obedient servant will let you lead him around by the nose no more. Enough. Black eyes, passionate eyes, coral lips, dimples and cheeks, moonlight whispers, soft modest sighs. For all that, madam, I wouldn't pay a kopeck. I'm not speaking of present company, but of women in general. From the tiniest to the greatest, they are conceited, hypocritical, chattering, odious, deceitful from top to toe, vain, petty, cruel with a maddening logic, and in this respect, please excuse my frankness, but one sparrow is worth 10 of the aforementioned petticoat philosophers. When one sees one of the romantic creatures before him, he imagines he is looking at some holy being so wonderful that its one breath could dissolve him in a sea of 1,000 charms and delights. But if one looks into the soul, it's nothing but a common crocodile. But the worst of all is that this crocodile imagines it is a masterpiece of creation, and that it has a monopoly on all the tender passions. May the devil hang me upside down if there is anything to love about a woman. When she is in love, all she knows is how to complain and shed tears. If the man suffers and makes sacrifice, she swings her train about and tries to lead him by the nose. You have the misfortune to be a woman, and naturally you know women's nature. Tell me on your honor, have you ever in your life seen a woman who was really true and faithful? Never. Only the old and the deformed are true and faithful. It's easier to find a cat with horns or a white woodcock than a faithful woman.
All right. Valkyrie just said she wants to see the new judges first before she auditions, so no pressure, Scarlet.
Oh, thanks.
No pressure whatsoever. If she doesn't audition, we know it's because you suck.
Wow.
Pressure.
Great. After listening to this monologue that's totally about how I'm misfortune to be a woman,
yeah,
suddenly I'm being slammed by you. I really
I'm
appreciate
sorry
that.
You haven't been slammed
that.
By me yet. That's later. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, see, that's the way you said it. Now, see, this to me had levels. You changed the speed of your reading and you halted and sped up. This is a roller coaster I want to ride again.
So. Mm-hmm. Me too, actually. In my notes, I wrote down, so sexy. I actually did. And then...
So sexy, he hates women.
Yeah, and I really...
So sexy.
Some of the words that you put... oh my God, see, I can't talk. But just some of the words that you emphasized sounded really, really great. Like, you said the word passionately, and just at that point, like, I felt passion, and I was like, whoa!
It was like right? He's a hypnotist.
I know, right? And then when you said, like, holy being, you said that with, like, a bit of sarcasm, and, like, I really, really, like, I could sense it, and that was awesome.
See, I'll be the first to admit that these older style monologues are not my forte as far as critiquing, but I liked what I heard.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell he knew what he was doing. He had levels in it, and that's really what I look for in monologues for auditions is levels and believability. And mm-hmm. I don't want them to sound reedy, and this didn't sound reedy to me at all.
Yeah, and also one thing about older monologues is that sometimes they're harder to understand because it's older English.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I didn't actually find that hard to understand. So that was really nice.
I didn't either, and I think part of it was because I feel like he understood it so well
mm-hmm.
that he was placing the proper emphasis in the proper places, and it made it easier for us to follow because we're not very smart, I swear.
No. But yeah, that is really important. If you're going to do an older monologue, then yeah, make sure that you understand it so that you can let your listeners understand.
Yes. It's a yes for me.
Yeah, me too.
That was easy. Two yeses. Russ is on active season 4. Could he be the winner?
Ooh, I'm excited.
It's possible. You ready to move on?
Yes.
Spaz Cakes is up next.
All right.
Where is the stop button? Where is the...
One of my favorite things about Pokemon is that I can figure things out. Let's say that a Geodude uses Rollout, which, by the way, has a base power of 30, but everybody knows that. But he used Defense Curl the turn before, so that doubles it. Then you apply same type attack bonus, which makes it 1.5 times stronger than that. And then it's like 4 times special effective against something like a Butterfree that's bug and flying. It's really simple when you get right down to it. 30 becomes 60, 60 becomes 90, 90 becomes 360. And to top it all off, wait until you hear this. That doubles every time Rollout hits! It's awesome, right? If life were like the Pokemon games, oh my gosh. I mean, sure, there'd be crazy things running around like Rattatas and Gatterbees, and there'd be hunts for giants like Lugia. And people would be flying around on their Pharaohs and riding from town to town on their Ponytas. But things would follow rules. Ground will never be hit by an electric attack. And Spiritomb will never have a weakness unless A Machoke uses foresight, but nobody uses foresight anymore. I digress. These things are easy for people like me to figure out. But in the end, life isn't like Pokemon. And don't get me wrong, as awesome as it would be to major in double battle combinations with minor in self-damaging move studies, there really is something to be said for the fact that life just doesn't have these rules. I mean, it gives things like me, telling a guy who's completely out of my league that I like him, a chance to work. And maybe I picked the wrong starter for this particular situation, but it might make things easier in the future. The only way you can know is just go for it. Go and be the very best like no one ever was. Just catch them all. Although, don't take this analogy too seriously. Because, catching all the communicable diseases you can isn't the best idea.
Okay. Lost. It's Pokemon. It's lost me. It's lost me on the Pokemon.
What? I thought you loved anime monologues.
I hate anime monologues.
They're your favorite.
This isn't even so much an anime monologue. It's a monologue about anime.
I know. Isn't that the best?
It's worse. I like this in general, but it sounded very reedy. And not that you were reading it flatly, but it sounded like not conversational. It was kind of overacty for me.
Okay.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it was really, really good emotion, but what it was the timing. Some pauses I felt were too short, other ones I felt were too long, and just awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And then also your voice, it's all over the place. Like, at some points, I think it felt like you actually, like, cut your monologue, like you were using different lines and cut them all together to put them into order. I've done that before. It exists.
doing it right now.
Yeah. So I don't know if you actually did do that. That's hard. But either way, there is just a little bit of like awkward pauses. You need to space it out and just really imagine yourself talking to someone and like you want to know that they understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's not always about what you say. It's about what you don't say in the pauses that makes a good monologue. And the other thing is I don't believe that this monologue particularly is a good audition monologue if you're trying to get realism. I think you should maybe pick something that isn't so, like, out there. I don't know. I feel like it would be hard to do, like, legit emotion on this monologue. This monologue felt like somebody dared you to do it.
I thought... nice. I thought that this was actually really well done. Like, it's kind of like a know-it-all. But at the same time... it was hard.
Okay, well, then if you were going to do this monologue again, I would like you to be, like, a lot bigger and, like, more, I love Pokemon on the Pokemon part, and then when you got into, like, the real-world stuff, maybe take it way down.
Mm-hmm.
And get real with it. But you could still go through on this one. Scarlett, do you think that, based on this monologue, she should go through?
You know, actually, yes. I really...
Really?
I really liked her emotion. I think it has a lot of potential. And by it, I mean she does.
It's good.
It's
did a good job. Put it through.
Oh, I'm terrible.
All Americans to Scarlett are it.
Yeah, I think actually, just work on your timing a bit, and then everything I'd put you through.
It's a tough one for me because I didn't put.
You don't emotion, like Pokemon. I don't like
no,
anime.
It was, I mean, the emotion was good, but it could have been a lot more refined. She had a better grasp on, like, trying to do levels than a lot of people do. But, like, I felt like the levels didn't quite go there for me, so I don't know. I'll say yes to you. I'll trust you, Scarlett.
Yes, you should.
And this wasn't like a train wreck or anything. I mean, it was pretty decent.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want more, like, realism from you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up, to face the Canadian, Monica Silent. Oh yeah.
Oh my.
What's the matter, Batman?
No witty comeback? No threat? Then I'll provide the narration. I'll begin with how I peeled back the layers of the boy's mind. Oh, he bravely tried to fight at first. You would have been proud to see him so strong. But all too soon, the shocks and the serums took their toll, and the boy began to share such secrets with me. Secrets that are mine alone to know. Bruce. It's true, Batsy! I know everything. And kinda like the kid who peeks at his Christmas presents, I must admit, it's sadly anticlimactic. Behind all this term and batarangs, you're just a little boy in a play suit, crying for mommy and daddy. It would be funny if it weren't so pathetic. Oh, what the heck? I laugh anyway!
Oh, that laugh.
I know. First note, best laugh ever.
That laugh terrified Scarlett, and she jumped into my lap when you did it. So thank you, Monica.
No, it didn't.
My word against yours, you're new. Okay. Why don't you start?
I'm sorry. Maybe because I'm new, I shouldn't.
Okay. So Joker monologues almost always fail on this show, and it's because everyone does a Heath Ledger impression or a Mark Hamill impression. But not you, sir. You did a Monica impression, and it was good. I liked it overall. I kind of wanted you to go a lot more evil, starting from, like, It's True, Batsy. Because with a character like the Joker, you really have a license to just go there with it. But I liked this overall. What did you think, noob?
I liked it. I was a bit at crossroads at some points, because I feel as though when you have an evil character that says stuff like that, sometimes it really works if you start your lines sounding sort of normal and then gradually building up the insanity as you go. And so adding levels like that within the lines, I find works really well. But at the same time, it is Joker, and Joker is kind of like a wild card, I find. I don't know. Like, I think you did a really, really good job. But, like, yeah. And then...
But it could have been better? Is that what you're saying? It could have been better?
Everyone can be better, Dylan.
Yeah, not me. I'm as good as it gets.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I thought it was really, really nice. I really liked it.
I think we usually hear about 8 Joker monologues in the auditions.
Good to know. So, good to know. I really like the energy, though.
Energy,
yes. Energy was excellent. Good. Excellent energy.
And I think Monica now has set the bar for the Joker monologue. So anything that follow will be compared to Monica's. But that said, was the bar high enough for a yes from you?
Yes.
I got a yes, too. So Monica Silent, you are on ACT IT Season 4. Congratulations. Ooh. We're putting a lot of people through. We have a good... We already have 3 very strong competitors now.
All right.
It'll be a good finale if we get nobody else. We still have these 3. Next up. Uh-oh, Scarlett.
Uh-oh, what?
The email says, this monologue doesn't really call for a lot of emotion, so I hope it's good the way I played it. That makes me nervous. Why would you pick a monologue where you don't have to show levels? But maybe he does. This is Copper. Copper is up next, and I'm ready when you are.
Okay.
I'm at over 80 miles per hour and I lose my shit. Too many thoughts racing around in my brain. Too many miles of cold, gray asphalt and interstate nothingness. I haven't slept in days as usual, and all I can think of is that call I got at 6 a.m. Jack, you better get out here. I slammed the phone down and hit the road. The rest is a blur. It's too much to bear, the thought of my stepfather's impending death. God, I'm tired. Now, I'm racing over 80. Wisps of weathered country streaking by, my mind going even faster. I'm somewhere on I-70. Could be Missouri, who the hell knows? It all looked the same on the interstates. All I see is gray. Gray trees and hills, with the wet gray road interrupted by the occasional gray city. Seems like I've been driving through this shit for years. I don't know why I'm doing this. Driving across the country to hopefully make it in time to see Phil. I'm not supposed to care about my stepdad. Truth is, Phil was way more of a father than my real dad ever was. Whoa. Hitting 90. I'll back it off a little. 70's the speed limit here in whatever state. I'm used to 65 living in New York. That extra bit of leash is appreciated, pigs. It's always been this way. Whenever I'm stressed and about to blow, I hit the road. Leave my troubles behind. Keep moving. Stay speeding so fast my life can't catch me. For as long as possible.
Scarlet, here's the thing.
Yes?
I love your shoes.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You can start on this one.
Okay. Just a question. What is asphalt? And then...
Asphalt is what they pave roads with in America.
Isn't it asphalt?
No.
What?
Is that what you call it in Canada?
Oh my god, really? I actually... really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, really?
Do you guys call that asphalt?
We call that asphalt.
You guys are so weird.
Wow, that was definitely a Canadian mistake then, because I thought... wow.
Or a stupidity mistake.
No. No.
Either way.
No,
either way.
Anyways, still though, work on the enunciation is what where I was going to go with that one before my Canadian-ness got to me.
He said asphalt though, right?
He said asphalt. But
so he did well.
No. But then,
maybe you should work on your enunciation.
Why don't you just not interrupt me? Later on, we had... No, because, okay, some of the words were slammed together, like all I can. They were slurred, and you got to just try to make sure you don't slur.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really good. And
they were just talking so fast.
What?
He was talking so fast.
Yeah, so slow down and enunciate. That is always a big deal. Also, you could actually get quite a bit of emotion. Like, you don't have to yell, but you could hear in the monologue that he's got some conflicting feelings about his stepdad. So, you know, for example, when you said you were so tired after mentioning your stepdad, like if you put a pause in between before you say, I'm so tired, and actually just was like, oh, like really felt the moment, like that would be really, really good.
Yeah. And you could definitely have done a lot more with this, even if it doesn't call for a lot of emotion, which I disagree with, because you could have definitely ejected emotions into this. For instance, in the monologue itself, he says he's stressed and about ready to blow. So, like, I wanted that sort of feeling. And, like, you could just vary, even if you just varied the way you were speaking, like Scarlett was saying, if you just paused before you said, I'm so tired, and, like, it was just hitting you. I don't know. It was just very much all the same tempo. If you don't feel like this monologue calls for a lot of emotion, then do a monologue that you can really show stuff on. Because for me, this was very one note and very, like, the same tempo all the way through. And it didn't work for me as a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a no from me.
I'm going to say I want to hear a redo, so no for me too.
I don't think you should redo this monologue unless you can inject emotion into it. If you don't feel that you can, I would... Because you seem to believe that this is not one that calls for emotion. So I'd like to hear you do one that you feel does call for emotion.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't want to knock his choice as an actor to say it doesn't call for emotion. I don't want to be like, yes, it does. You're an idiot. So you do feel calls for emotion. So it's two no's?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, Copper. Miss Voice of an Angel has graced us with an audition, and she's up next.
Ooh. Oh my god, Mom, you are not. I am completely serious. Going out of the house wearing that. Bitch me out. Do you know what you look like? You are mega embarrassing, okay? Mom, you are representing me at the PTA. I can't have everybody's 8th grade parents seeing you in hooker wear. Oh my god, do you know how old you are? You are an ancient decrepit person, Mom. Sorry, but you are. Spaghetti straps and... Don't tell me that skirt passes a finger test, Mom. Wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. Open your mouth and hold it open. Oh my god, gross! Oh my god! Is that a tongue piercing? Mother, tongue piercings and menopause are polar opposites, okay? Mom, you are representing me at the PTA. And there is a dress code. I can't have everybody seeing you disobeying the dress code, Mom. God. I mean, do you really think I want to see you look like you just got back from Whore Wars? God, seriously? I mean, have a little respect for yourself, will ya? You're a dentist. Where are we headed here, I would like to ask? Are you going to be one of those 60-year-olds who look like steel prunes showing endless leg with plucked eyebrows and breast augmentation? I warn you, Mom, if you step foot in the PTA, I will get Dad and Aunt Lucy and your therapist and bio-keeping. We will have an intervention in the parking lot! I mean, hand over the tanning salon discount coupons. You know, I'm sorry, but the difference between who you are and who you think you are is an unbelievable sag factor. Now, go upstairs this minute and put on something with long sleeves and flats. You can go to that meeting, but after that, oh my God, you are so grounded.
Miss Voice of an Angel.
Oh my God, Dylan. Oh my God. Yes. How can you wear that?
Oh my God. You are an embarrassment.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, I hate you.
This was very robotic and not conversational. Maybe if you redid this, add like an exasperated sort of thing, like, oh, Mom, it's so embarrassing. Not like that, but like legitly. It wasn't as... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, so my deal is it's very... What you mean with robotic is it pretty much sounded like you read a line and then another line and then another line. And yeah. You really need to approach it as if it's a paragraph, because it is technically a paragraph. And like, it is a conversation. And you don't... There are a lot of awkward pauses, like in the middle of a sentence, which is awkward. So I highly suggest...
Pauses are awkward.
Yeah. So try not to do that. I can't remember where it is, but also, when you got really angry with the tongue piercing, I wanted to hear more anger about that one. Because something about coupons in the parking lot near the end, you had a lot of energy in that part, and I would have liked to hear that same type with the tongue piercing, because I feel as though if you saw something like that, you would just freak out, because I would.
Yeah, and I mean, especially right before you're about to go to, like, the PTA meeting or whatever, that would be super embarrassing. I did like that you tried to go big on intervention in the parking lot, but that part was super hard to understand. You just, like, intervention in the parking lot.
So did I say coupons in the parking lot?
Yeah.
What?
I thought maybe I misunderstood coupons in the parking lot. I thought maybe she said that and that was the part I didn't understand.
I don't know. Cool. This intervention sounded, it would make sense.
It just wasn't as...
Sorry.
What do you Canadians do about coupons in the parking lot?
I don't know. They always hand out coupons in the parking lot.
Do
coupons
they?
Coupons for asphalt, evidently.
Yeah, that's so weird. Yeah, asphalt. Melly or Songbird or Cookie, somebody back me up that Canadians don't say asphalt and that Scarlett's just an idiot. Thank you.
Oh my God. This is going to be so upsetting.
This would have been a hilarious monologue, but like the reading was very reedy. And even at one point, you kind of paused like you stumbled on the monologue or lost where you were in it, and then you came back into it. So maybe next time, run through it a couple of times out loud. And something that helps a lot with monologues is if you like copy-paste into Word and then make a note of the place in the monologue where you're going to try to go in this direction with it. Because then you know exactly where to kind of spike the energy or emotion in, mm-hmm. And that helps a lot.
And even putting in, like, beats and pauses is a good idea, too.
Yeah.
But I did like your voice. Just going to throw that out there.
I like your voice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I liked the, like, accent that you gave me. Like, oh, my God, Mom. Oh, my God.
Well, that was okay. I just like the tone of her voice.
Okay.
It's a no for me for now. But I'd like you to hear your audition for real.
Yeah. No for me as well.
Finally, unless another one comes in, this is our last one for the night.
Okay.
And it belongs to Zane.
If we take 52 from 64, we get 12. 5 years you spent in Holland, 17. 7 years spent in England, 24. 8 years in Rome, 32. And if the 32 we add your age, when we first became acquainted, we have exactly 52. So that, Mr. Signorelli, according to your own confession, you are between 52 and 53 years of age. The calculation is exact enough. Now, I will tell you frankly, as a friend, according to the promise you made me give you, that marriage would suit you but little. Marriage is a thing about which young people ought to think long and seriously before they risk themselves, but of which people of your age ought not to think at all. And if, as some say, the greatest folly a man can commit is to marry, I know nothing more preposterous than to commit such a folly at a time of life when we should be more prudent. In short, to speak to you plainly, I'd advise you not to marry. I should think you very ridiculous if, after having remained free up to your time of life, you were now to burden yourself with the heaviest of all chains. What's that? You're in love with her? Ah! That's quite another thing. You didn't tell me that. By all means, marry, then. I haven't another word to say.
Zane!
Do-do-do-do!
Zane, I don't like your voices so much. I just want to hear Zane's voice. You don't need to do a voice like this just to be a lawyer. I guess I was a lawyer.
Oh, I thought I was listening to a professor. There was this weird background in the noise, and suddenly I just felt myself being in the classroom again, and I was like, oh, no.
Well,
I was like...
Zane, you could be a lawyer with your own voice. Because when you do that fake voice, to me, it takes me out of the moment. Because I'm concentrating on the fake-sounding voice. What do you think?
I thought that the voice could change about halfway through. Because when you're talking about the math and all that stuff that I didn't quite understand, like that, you can sound like a know-it-all or whatever.
You're a woman. You should understand numbers.
I don't...
Exactly.
Anyways. Oh my, what? But anyways, now I've lost my train of thought. Okay.
Oh, you were talking about the numbers.
Right. Okay, no, about halfway through, when you start talking about the marriage, I think you should have done it more so that you sound less like a know-it-all, but more like you're talking to a friend or something like that. Because, like, with the overdone voice, it does kind of take you out of the moment. So if you just, like, brought it down a notch at that point, it would actually seem like it would be really nice to listen to.
I don't know what the context of the scene was. I was very confused, so I don't know whether to... Because I said he needed to be more, like, forceful and accusatory if he was, like, a lawyer or a judge. But if it was, like, a friend, I don't know.
Yeah.
I assumed by the voice that he was some sort of authority figure, and that's why he was talking like this. But I don't know.
I just thought he was a know-it-all.
Maybe he is.
I'm not totally sure. So,
I'm confused.
I don't know, like, they had good energy.
Mm-hmm. You took some... When the other person was talking, you took good pauses, but then at other times you took pauses where I don't think there were supposed to be pauses, so it was confusing.
Yeah, at the very, very end, I liked the energy that you put at the end there and the laughter, but there was an awkward pause. The Mary, then...
Mm-hmm.
That was a little awkward.
I wouldn't just hear you do something that you can relate to on a day-to-day life that is like that makes you like sound like vulnerable and like a normal person. Because this, you sounded like you were just like doing some sort of sketch comedy, but it wasn't funny. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say choose a different monologue and come back for sure.
And don't do a voice.
Yeah, just use your normal voice. Really work on emotion, I'd say, is definitely what we are focusing on here with the monologues.
Yeah, Scarlett thinks you have a sexy voice just through your normal speaking voice.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She says that many times to me.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have to talk about.
Yeah, like every time we talk, she's like, have you talked to Zane because I love his sexy speaking voice? Only her voice is all wavery and creepy-ish. Anyway.
Thanks.
It's a no from me for now.
Yeah, no for now, but I definitely want to hear another monologue.
Mostly we're just saying no because Scarlett wants to hear you talk again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that is actually the end of Act It, Episode 1.
I survived.
Congratulations, Scarlett. Just to clarify, Russ, Spaz, Cakes, and Monica Silent, you are going through Bright Disaster, E, Copper, 12, or just Copper, Miss Voice of an Angel, and Zane. You are not going through, but please resubmit because I believe that all four of you could go through.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything you want to say, Scarlett?
No.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Can I
keep the auditions coming? You can still audition.
Yeah.